Good morning, everyone. I was so excited to be up on the stage this week while this story for all ages was going on. Last week, Sarah Apt and I were sitting in the pews, and Ferdinand the Bull was the story, another one of my favorite stories. And I said to her, I want to go up and sit up on the stage. And she agreed. She wanted to come up, too, because we are all children at heart, and we all love these stories. And so I ask you to kind of bring out your inner child to think about some of these stories. Children's stories often speak great truths that we don't hear so directly in older adult stories. So let's consider the story of Stone Soup. In this story, the soldiers come into town, and the people are immediately suspicious. They are not welcoming. They want the soldiers to go away. They assume that the soldiers are going to try to steal their food, and they have precious little to begin with. And the soldiers themselves seem to understand this. They know that the villagers are scared. They probably come from a village themselves that if three strange soldiers walked into their villagers would respond the same way. They don't become defensive. They don't become aggressive. What they do instead is invite everyone to participate in the making of something that everyone can partake of. And in doing what they do, everyone comes together in a way that hadn't happened before. I've seen illustrations of this story in which there are long tables and there's feasting and people are singing and dancing and there's a party, a spontaneous party that happens as a result of making stone soup. In my fantasy of the story, people who had never spoken to each other before walk away friends, and people who had felt out of things and had not felt a part of the community suddenly feel a part of the community. And the villagers realize also that the soldiers are friends. Okay, the story of the loaves and fishes is not exactly a children's story, but it's something that I think children relate to just because of its sort of magical qualities. In this account, Jesus tells the disciples to share the food that they have, and the disciples are not pleased. They brought the food for themselves, and there's really only enough for them, and probably not really enough of that either. They are not happy about sharing it, and in one account, one of them says, we could work for 6 months and not have enough money to feed all of these people. Yet when they share what they have, miraculously, there's enough to feed everyone. Okay, I know USGers do not take literal Bible take Bible stories literally. But just for a moment, I want you to suspend disbelief and think and consider the possibility that maybe something like this really did happen during the life of Jesus. So maybe Jesus really was a magician and he really did make 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000. But maybe something else happened. Maybe he inspired people. Maybe people really had food with them. And maybe he inspired them to share what they had. And in everybody bringing out what they thought they couldn't share, a miracle happens. And everyone has more than enough. And that is really a miracle. Okay, I got to come clean about why I'm up here today. Okay, it's partly because I have an in. He's going to be mad at me. But my husband, Alan, in case you didn't know, is the chair of Worship Arts. And he happened to mention one day that there was an open slot. And I said, oh boy, I want it. But that's not really the reason. The real reason is because I am co-chair of stewardship and co-chairing with Bill Dowdle, who's sitting way in the back so nobody sees him. And I wanted to, what we usually start talking about stewardship in February, I wanted to start talking about it earlier. So, anybody annoyed? Feel tricked? Take a breath. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you. I didn't make that up. Today really is about stewardship. Let me just say a show of hands. How many of you think that stewardship and fundraising are the same? Nobody. Whoa. Okay. I think it's really unfortunate that a lot of people do think that those two terms are synonymous. I was at a meeting recently where Dennis Drain and Scott Murray and Anais Sales all said that the umbrella of stewardship covers really all caring time and talent. And I don't think we say enough about how much that really is valuable in the church. A couple of people put together some figures, and they said that if we had to pay people to do all of the work that's done by volunteers in the church, the price tag would be somewhere around $500,000. So that is a huge contribution. And that doesn't even count what is done outside of USG, the service and the time and talent that's done in the greater community and in the world. Let me ask this. How many people, in the past 18 months, have done something in service to USG or something through USG in service to the greater community? Just raise your hands. As I expected, it's just about everybody, and I'm guessing that some of the people who didn't are new. And I'm guessing that even if you didn't raise your hand or you think you didn't do something, you probably did. That time and talent is really two prongs of the stewardship triangle. The third one, however, is money. None of the service or the time and the talent would be able to be delivered if we don't have the funding to support it. This year, we actually had to cut back on some of the things that we funded because our budget did not allow us to support it at the level that we had hoped to be able to. These included, in particular, our commitment to UUA and the Joseph Priestley District, of which we're a part. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Lee Meineke, Charles Gabriel, and Scott Murray, and they talked about what we need to run the church. We heard Sam Gugino say that for this current fiscal year, pledging is down by $25,000 to $30,000. Fewer families increased their pledges, and the number of fair share givers dropped from 72 to 55. This year, the Board of Trustees, of which I'm a member, voted to take some money from the endowment to make up the deficit between what we need to run the church and what was pledged. We are very fortunate that we have an endowment, but we can't continue to draw from it and still remain as stable as we are. 2 weeks ago, we had to look at our financial situation, and it really isn't pretty. Pledges are down all over, and more individual families who were not able to pledge at all. This is not to point the finger. This is really just a statement of fact. Okay, so let's go back to Stone Soup. If the soldiers had used some standard fundraising, they would have gone door to door and asked for carrots and asked for onions and asked for some chicken and asked for some cheese, and probably everyone would have run away. Instead, they created a situation in which everybody won. Everybody took a risk. They inspired people to take a risk, to contribute what they had, even though they didn't think they could. They didn't think they could, and they definitely didn't think they could share it. And I'm sure that no one in the story was imagining that the outcome would have been as wonderful as it was. And it's always bothered me that the people in the story are portrayed as being kind of tricked, you know, that we made a stone soup, we made soup out of three stones. I find it hard to believe that the people didn't know what was going on. I think that the trickery kind of negates the truth of the story. In my mind, the villagers took the risk because they had begun to see the beauty of what was going on. They saw a miracle in the making, and they wanted to be a part of it. A point that I think is critical to both this story and the story of the loaves and fishes is that in both cases, everyone is afraid. Everyone is afraid. The villagers are afraid. The disciples are afraid. The soldiers are afraid. Everyone is scared. Everyone is hungry. They are not happy about being, the disciples are not happy about being told to share. And in some accounts of the loaves and fishes stories, the crowd is becoming aggressive. They definitely were afraid, and overcoming fear requires courage and a great deal of trust. In a recent essay, UUA President Peter Morales wrote about trust. He says, and this is a quote, "Love is wonderful. But love that is only a feeling of compassion is not enough. Love has to grow. Love has to act. To act, to develop deep and enduring relationships in a family, a congregation, or a religious movement, our love must develop into mutual trust." He goes on to say that he wishes UUs would learn to trust each other more. That's what happened in Stone Soup. That's really what made it so special. The whole village came together, and the sum of the part and the whole was much greater than the sum of its parts. It was because the villagers took the risk of trusting that they could share their treasure, even though they didn't think they could. President Morales uses the words trust and faith interchangeably, and I think UUs often have trouble with both words. To trust, to have faith, we must open our hearts and we must act. As President Morales says, compassionate love is not enough. We must put our love into practice, and there's no way to do that without trust. The budget drive will start in February, and it is about fundraising. The money is a major means by which we steward the church. It is why we have religious education. It is why we have music. It is why we have heat and light and water and paper towels. It is why we have Kent and Joan and Jody and Gloria and Lita. It is why the building is clean. Our treasure is not only part of our stewardship, but it is actually the one that will allow the rest. Without it, we're going to be pretty stuck. So this is what I'd like you to think about for the next few months. What would you have done if you had been a villager in the story of Stone Soup? What would you have done if you had been one of the disciples or one of the people in the crowd? Would you have taken the risk of sharing? Would you have had the courage to trust that you would have enough, even though you didn't think you did? Would you have taken the risk? Would you have trusted? USG is about building beloved community with compassion, service, and empowerment. How will you contribute to our beloved community? How will you serve and empower? As President Morales states, compassionate love is not enough. We must put that love into action. We must trust each other and ourselves. The people in both today's stories had to make a decision about whether they were going to contribute to building their beloved community, to take the risk of supporting their brothers and sisters. In short, to trust, to have faith. In both stories, the end result was beyond the wildest beliefs of everyone involved. I want to leave you with one more thing. There are a few of us who call ourselves the Stewardship Committee. We are like the soldiers who come into the town. Everybody runs away when they see us coming. I actually remember Linda Smith, who was the chair of development several years ago, say, "I know they were home. It was a snowstorm." The fact is, though, that everyone who's a part of USG is a steward of USG, whether we own it or not, whether we like it or not. USG belongs to us. Because it is ours, we are responsible for it. We can choose to ignore this, but it does not mean we're any less responsible. So, I ask you to think about that responsibility over the next few months, and when the team comes to ask you for your pledge, I ask that you remember the story of Stone Soup and ask yourselves, what would you do? What will you do? I am looking for a miracle. May it be so. And now we are singing Hymn 1020 in the hymnal. Is that right? 1028. And this is a little bit of a difficult hymn to sing. So if there are any volunteers who would like to serve by coming up to the front and sort of singing with the mic.
Some good singer.
Yeah, Betsy, come on up.